Mosaic. My name is James Hinton. I'm one of the teaching pastors here. And this morning, I'll be your lead coach through our WAD. That'll make sense for some of you, and for some of you, I'm just spoke a foreign language, but hopefully that'll come into clarity a little bit this morning. Hebrews chapter 5. If you could, please, in your copy of God's Word, look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Of whom we have much to say, and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though at this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have become need of milk and not solid food. For everyone that partakes only of milk is unskilled, and the word of righteousness free as a babe. But solid food belongs to those that are of full age. That is, those that by the reason of use have their senses, here's the dirty little word that we don't like to hear, exercised. Exercised to discern both good and evil. Next to the money, or actually probably more so than money, this topic and theme that which we'll be talking about today is probably the most unpopular topic of all church history, and that is exercise. What does it mean to have a CrossFit faith? Now today is, if you guys shouldn't know this, you should, is the CrossFit Games is culminating today, the final day of the CrossFit Games. I am an avid CrossFitter, if you will. One of the tenets of CrossFit is functional fitness, if you will. And we're going to use that as a theme and a topic of our text here today to understand what spiritual fitness looks like. Do you have a fully functional spiritual fitness in your life? You see here, we're being challenged by God's word in great ways. This isn't something that I've come up with. This isn't something that I've just decided. One of the beautiful things about just studying the Word of God is that it dictates our topics. It dictates what we talk about. And we see a great warning in Scripture that we would do well to heed. And to neglect or to ignore the warning is a recipe for disaster. So this isn't optional. This is absolutely vital what we talk about today. Would you bow your heads and hearts for a word of prayer? Father, we do pray that through the power of your word that you would speak to every heart and every life this morning. I am incapable and inadequate of properly communicating deep, vital, powerful, practical truths to everyone here. But Lord, your Holy Spirit is not hindered. Your Holy Spirit is not limited. And that your word is unfailing, it's perfect and pure, powerful and very practical for our lives. And so I pray, Lord, that you would attune our hearts to what we see before us in Scripture. I pray that you'd move mightily in our lives through the power of your word, and that we would give you the love that you desire and deserve. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The fitness industry, I would suggest to you, is failing. The reality is obesity and the rates are in scary prevalence in today's culture. Matter of fact, they say that 45 Americans usually take the New Year's resolution of weight loss being the most prominent goal. So almost 50% of the New Year's resolutions are of weight loss or fitness, if you will. 92% of those that make that pledge fail. Now, I won't ask you to point out if that was one of your New Year resolutions, and I won't be mean or cruel to ask you how are you doing in that New Year's resolution, but this is the reality. Matter of fact, the fitness industry is one of the most profitable, powerful, persuasive industries in America, in the world, and it's really not addressing the problem very much. Matter of fact, I read a recent study in NPR, a podcast NPR, said that was talking about that gym owners have this business model centered around members not showing up. I don't know if you realize this, but this is the business model that most fitness industries have, is they sign you up, but they don't really want you to show up. right? They just want you to collect that money. Matter of fact, they depend on it. Their whole business model is to get you to pay without actually being there. And the reality is that this is what is normally the case in most fitness models that we see. Now, matter of fact, if you were to go to any given day, at least three books in the top 10 Amazon pick list have to do something about fitness, diet, nutrition, celebrity-endorsed nutrition books, if you will, is the most prominent and prevalent theme on Amazon books, is some sort of fitness and nutrition. I'm not here to talk about that kind of fitness, because that fitness hasn't actually made much of a dent or much of a difference in most people's lives. The reason why we're going to talk a little bit about CrossFit is, one, because I'm the pastor and I can. But, no, honestly, I think there's some things that I've seen that are some great spiritual takeaways that I think will be helpful. So some of you who don't know what CrossFit is constantly varied functional movements performed at high intensity. That is the definition of CrossFit. Most CrossFit workouts are based on functional movements, movements that reflect the best aspects of gymnastics, weightlifting, running, rowing, and more. These are core movements of life, if you will. One thing that you'll see in CrossFit is there's no mirrors in a CrossFit gym. Matter of fact, CrossFit gyms don't even call themselves gyms. They call themselves boxes. And if you were to go into a box, it's no frills. There's no mirrors, matter of fact. You will not find a single mirror in a CrossFit box. And there's a reason for that, and I think we'll help you understand why that matters for us. So anyway, you see here, just like the fitness industry, the Lord is, through the writer of Hebrews, is addressing some things and is bringing out some things that we need to understand. Matter of fact, he's alluded to several of these things throughout our text and our journey through Hebrews. And if you look in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, he's saying, pay close attention so that you don't drift away. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, he says to consider Jesus. And then Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, he says, don't harden your hearts. Then Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, he says, take care, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. Then in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, to fear, lest you fail to enter into God's rest. In chapter 4, verse 11, he said, be diligent to enter into the rest, lest you fail by disobedience. Chapter 4, verse 14 says, hold fast your profession. All these urgent admonitions, you begin to get the impression that the Holy Spirit is writing through this writer in Scripture in Hebrews concerning the situation in this church, that it's to say that there's some severe dysfunctions in this group of believers. But up until now, he's only mentioned not only giving us the cure, but really not the diagnosis, if you will. And what we find in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, we find the diagnosis, the major problem that is infecting these people. And I would suggest to you that it's the number one problem that affects churches and believers today. What is behind all these exhortations? Pay close attention, consider, don't harden your heart, be diligent, hold fast. These are all doctor's prescriptions, if you will, for spiritual immaturity. I would suggest to you spiritual obesity. The most urgent question this morning is, do you have the disease of spiritual immaturity? Are you spiritually fit? Now, obviously, I've already told you, I'll be talking a lot about fitness. Understand, don't misunderstand my intent here. As a pastor, my care or concern for you today is not whether or not you're physically fit. That's not my focus this morning. But I think there's some parables that we need. I want you to ask yourselves, are you spiritually fit? And if you're not, what is required to get fit spiritually? I want to talk today about Christian growth, Christian maturity, what it means to grow as a Christian in this context of spiritual fitness. If you look in chapter 6, verse 1, therefore. Now, when we see a therefore, what do? Look before the therefore to find out what the therefore is. Good job. You guys are getting it. Therefore, leaving notices this elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. That word perfection is the word maturity. Matter of fact, if you go back to in your text to verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, circle full age. The word full age and perfection are the same Greek word. It means maturity. Grown up, if you will. Quit being a baby. Grow up. Some people think that stability is good, but stability many times is just an excuse for not growing. I heard of one man one time give a testimony that he says, in 20 years, God filled my cup. 20 years ago, God filled my cup to the brim, and not a drop has come in, and not a drop has gone out in 20 years. That's stagnation. That's not maturity. So write this down. An inflow without an outflow becomes a cesspool. Inflow without outflow becomes a cesspool. And please understand my intent, my love for you as a pastor, as a fellow believer. Understand, I don't say this to be mean or to be ugly, but what I see in many Christians today is cesspool Christians. Literally, inflow without outflow, that our knowledge of what we take in and our obedience of which we live out are severely dysfunctional. No time in Christian history have more Christians had more access to more truth than any other time in history than today. Information does not equate obedience. Information does not equate strength. Information about fitness does not equal fitness. I mean, reality is a lot of times, I remember growing up that we didn't know smoking was bad. We didn't know certain things were bad for you. We'd never heard of this thing called cholesterol, right? Oh, and now we have all this information. You think, boy, my father had 5 heart attacks and a heart transplant by the time he was 30, 39. And the reality is we found out that it was a lot of just his diet, of what he was putting in, right? We didn't know those things. So surely we would think today, since we know so much, we wouldn't have the same problems. And the reality is we do. The sad part is that in our Google culture today, we think because we can learn something, we can look up something, that we actually know something. It doesn't equate that way. Inflow without outflow becomes a cesspool. I want to ask you a pointed question. I asked myself this question this morning, and as I've been preparing for this message, am I a growing Christian? Am I a growing Christian? Am I spiritually fit, if you will? One thing that I've learned about fitness is not a destination. It's a journey. Now, I'm 44, right? I have embraced this reality that I will never be as good as I once was, right? I am no longer 24 years old as a special operations scout sniper. Like, those days are gone, right? But I've also realized that this fitness is a journey, not a destination. How many people have known folks to talk about how of a great athlete they were back 20 years ago, right? I work with a guy, he's about 50 pounds overweight, and he talks about how he played minor league baseball all the time. And he says, I'm such a great athlete. And finally I told him, I said, bro, you're 50 pounds overweight. Those days are gone, man. But he used what he had done in the past to justify his inactivity of the present. Paul is encouraging his believers in Hebrews to go on, to move on. And the number one problem that you have is because you've lacked spiritual maturity, that the whole point of this is to grow. And we've talked about this in the theme of Hebrews, the test of the reality of redemption. This is what redemption looks like in the believer's life and in a church, is that people are growing and maturing. They're spiritually fit. There's something seriously wrong if you're not growing. There's something spiritually wrong if you're not maturing. We're going to discuss that in detail today. Just remember that this stability equals stagnation. Stability equals stagnation. You're supposed to grow. We'll look at our text, verses 11 through 14, the mandate of spiritual fitness. The mandate of spiritual fitness. Look at your text. The Bible has commanded us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That when a Christian stops growing, decay sets in. So today I want you to notice the mandate of this maturity, of the spiritual fitness, if you will. We see in chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving these principles and doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection, to maturity, if you will. It's interesting here, this Greek word is in the active voice, in the present tense. So it's literally saying that this is something that you ought to be doing right now in your life, is growing and moving forward. Let us continue to progress in our spiritual fitness, if you will. Now, in chapter 5, it gives us some marks of immaturity. These are indicators that you are spiritually out of shape. All right? Now, this is important for us to understand, because one of the things I really appreciate about CrossFit is that they don't encourage anyone to look at the scales. Scales don't indicate fitness. They don't. So you may weigh a certain weight, or you may think that you're in a certain weight class. That doesn't mean necessarily that you're fit. I'm not asking the question, are you thin or fat? I'm asking the question, are you fit? Okay? There's a difference. We're not talking about what we look like. We're talking about the benchmarks of lack of fitness in our life, spiritually. Notice the first one. A mark of lack of fitness or immaturity, if you will, is dullness. In verse 11, he says, I have many things to say unto you, and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. You know what this Greek word dull, you know what it's also translated as in the New Testament? Lazy. Let's just be honest. The reason why we're not fit physically is just because we're lazy. I mean, we just don't value it. Now, there's exceptions. There are a few folks that, because of medical conditions or whatever, are prohibited from exercising. But let's be honest, you're about as fit as you want to be. No, I'd like to be fitter. No, you wouldn't. Because if you would, you could. I hear this a lot of times, I'd like to grow spiritually, but I'm not. Whose fault is that? Part of this understanding of our lack of maturity is take ownership over the process. Paul, I believe it's Paul that's writing here, the Holy Spirit literally is telling this church, there's things that I want you to understand, there's truths that I want you to embrace, but you cannot embrace those truths because you're spiritually immature. You're not ready for them. You know, I struggle as a pastor many times that there are things that I would long to speak into people's lives. Things that, if they would understand, would change the dynamics of their marriage, of the way they work, of the way they act, the way they respond to other people. And the reality is, and pastors say, you see the same thing, flat out, people just aren't ready for it. That to give us those things would overwhelm them. Literally, God is telling us there's things that I want you to get, but you're not ready for because you are dull of hearing. It means you are a lazy listener. And this is why we say this all the time at Mosaic, that this is a very safe place to hear a very dangerous message. that when you hear truth, when truth is delivered, you have a responsibility to that. And if you don't respond to that truth, it's a very dangerous thing. How many times does a doctor need to warn you that if you don't change your lifestyle, you're going to die? And the reality is, by the time that usually sinks in, it's too late. I saw that my dad passed away when he was 49. 2 years before he passed away, he came to know Christ. And he started changing his life in significant fashions. But you know what? It was too late. He physically had lived such a life that the consequences of the poor living and bad physical choices had taken their toll. And so many times I see Christians that at the end of their life, they want to make changes. And sometimes it's too late to turn back the clock. So what's the message for us? Change now. Today. Today, if you hear his voice. Today, if you hear his voice. Harden not your hearts. Dullness or laziness of hearing, if you will. Let me give you another D here, another mark of spiritual immaturity or lack of spiritual fitness. Dependency. Look at verse 12. You have need of someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have need to come need of milk and not solid food. He's referring to here of someone who is at physical age should be eating and assimilating the certain types of nutrition, but still is in the state of dependency where other people have to feed him. Now, understand the process. Now, some of you are brand new in your journey with Christ, and you're depending on other people to spiritually input spiritual food and nourishment into your life. And by the way, there is nothing wrong with that. Babies have to be cared for, right? The Bible says that as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with that. How many of you have ever chided an infant because they have to depend on their mother to be fed? No, that's what's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, it's quite beautiful, isn't it? Now, my youngest son turns 14 today. Where are you at, Tom-Tom? See you in here? All right, there you are, Tom-Tom. 14. You know, I haven't bottle-fed him in a long time. Now, if Thomas came in and we got out the diaper bag and gave him a bottle and cracked open a can of peas and carrots, right, which is cruelty, by the way, if you've ever tried that. Don't ever try baby food. Unless you're doing the fruit stuff, like the other stuff is just awful, right? There'd be a problem if he was still eating that. Well, here's your bottle, Thomas. You know what I see a lot of times, though, is Christians that will come in and out week after week, year after year in their Christian life, and they're coming to the pastor saying, Pastor, feed me. Feed me. Feed me. Grow up. Grow up. Just the fact that you've been saved for 20 years does not indicate the fact that you are a mature Christian. Many times I would suggest to you that your actions say otherwise. Understanding that trying to equate how many years you've been a Christian to your spiritual maturity makes about as much sense as me saying this. I've had a gym membership at Planet Fitness for 25 years. And therefore, I am fit. I am fit. When's the last time you went there? Well, I only go in there once a week when they have Pizza Fridays, or they do serve pizza there. Like, is it Mondays or Fridays? Mondays, Pizza Mondays. Some of you guys are like, Mondays. I work out one day a week when I got pizza. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Having a gym membership does not equal fitness. Sometimes people think, well, because I'm a member of this church or because I've been going to this church, man, I'm fit. I'm spiritually mature. And the reality is, no, you're not. Grow up. This is why so many people hate Christians. Because they look at you and you think, you're a hypocrite. God's calling us into maturity. This dependency, if you will. Understand something. If what a baby gets food that is processed through the mother, right? We all understand that concept. And that's needful in the infancy stage of a child, right? Now, if you're still drinking milk and that's all you can handle at 14, there's a problem. Some of you, the only spiritual food you get is when you come on Sunday morning and hear preaching. This is distilled. If the spiritual food and nourishment that you're getting is only coming from Sunday morning, there's something wrong with that. You need to be growing. You need to be growing. You need to get fit. And part of that is taking ownership, that it's not the church's fault that you're not growing. This service that we have here is not meant to last you all week long. It's not. That's not the purpose of this. Thirdly, not only dullness of hearing, dependency upon others to feed you. Another spiritual mark of immaturity is our poor diets. He said, he that partakes of milk only is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those that are of full age. The meat, if you will. Right? That's why the Bible's against vegetarians. Just saying. It's in the Greek. You'd have to understand that. He's saying here that we need to understand that what we eat matters. What you put in matters. How careful are you of what comes in to your mind? Write this down. Content produces concepts that equates to conduct. Let me roll that back again. Content. What you see and hear produces concepts, what you think, feel, and value that equals your conduct. All right, so sometimes the best way to start is to look at the end. What is my conduct? Is my conduct consistent with what I want in life? All right, so someone that needs to understand what fitness is, they first ask themselves this question, am I fit? And the question is either yes or no. Am I where I want to be? Then the obvious question, answer is no, I'm not where I want to be. Therefore, I need to change, go back to the beginning, change the content that reproduces and refines the concepts that will change the narrative of my life. Here's the problem. Many of us want different conduct, but we're not willing to go back and change the content. We want the product of an intimate marriage. We want the product of victorious Christian life, but we're not willing to go back and change the process. One of the things that I appreciate about CrossFit is that it's never the same. It's constantly and continuously changing all the time. It forces me to grow in areas that I do not like or that I do not want to. That's the beauty of it. Now, whether or not you do CrossFit or not is not really my concern or not, but understand something, that a church that is gospel-centered, that is focused, that is being biblically relevant will make you very, very uncomfortable in your Christian life. Our goal here is not to make you comfortable. We got comfortable seats now. Maybe we need to change that, put some pins in there or something so that you feel physically what you ought to feel spiritually. But understand, the point here is not just to make you comfortable. You have to focus on things you don't like. If you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got. Change the narrative. What God is wanting the people, the Christians and the Hebrews, to understand is to change the narrative of their life so that the reality of redemption begins to flow and have great significant gains in their life. You know what? I just realized I forgot to start my clock. How long have I been going, brother? 20 minutes. All right. I'm going to start it over. This is great. 40 minutes now. Now, I understand diet. The number one hindrance to my fitness goals is my diet. I hate it. I do. I don't like eating tree bark. I don't think grass tastes good. I don't. I don't care who you are. I have a brother that loves that kind of stuff, and he's mental. He just, he's just flat out mental. Like, carbs are awesome. I love the way they feel. I love the way they taste. I do. I just love it. Like, you know, how many of you guys are comfort eaters, right? Stressed out, worn out. You want some serious food, man. Yeah, I was down training this week, and I use this as an excuse, right? Like, well, I did a great workout today, so I'm going to reward myself with my guys. So I probably burned 1,200 calories in the box that day, and then I went to Five Guys, and I put in about 1,800, right? Now, sometimes in my mind, though, I'm thinking, it's okay, though. This is what my son Caleb does this all the time. It's okay, I did a great workout, and I'll get you to eat some Skittles. Sometimes, I went to church this weekend. I went to small group. Therefore, I can do all these other things. And they'll like carbon credits. They'll kind of X each other out. It doesn't work that way, friends. It doesn't. What you put in your body inputs its output. If you don't like the output, change the input. Understand this. Your Christian life is... you've been completely successful to get you to the place that you're at right now. I don't like where I'm at right now. Understand something. You're the one that brought it there. You think God's holding out on you? That somehow God doesn't want you to experience the full, powerful provisions of the resurrected life? That's all he wants for you. Understand something. If you don't like where your marriage is, if you don't like where your life is, you're the one that's designed it. You're the one that's brought it there. Change the narrative. One of the biggest things to physical fitness is to change your diet. Matter of fact, it is the number one paradigm, and it's the thing that we hate to do the most. Your daily intake of what you put in matters more than what you do on Sunday morning. So change the narrative. All right. Let's move on here to the mark of spiritual fitness, or this mark of spirituality, if you will. Noticing your text, he says, let us go on to maturity, if you will. What are those marks of a mature person? We see here that he says that, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection and maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. We see, first of all, that the idea of the mark of spiritual fitness is Christ-likeness. This is the goal. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That God's goal for your life is to make you like him. That in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, we beholding the glory of the Lord are changed. God's goal in your life is to change you. We say this often, that God loves you right where you're at. But he loves you too much to keep you there. His goal is to change you. Change us into what? Into the image of his son. So here's the thing. Do you look just like Jesus yet? We'd all would say, no. Good news. God's not through with you yet. So literally through the banner of our lives, we could write up this sign, under construction. God hasn't given up on you. If you haven't arrived yet, God has not given up on you. Why do you give up on yourself so much when God hasn't? The goal is Christ-likeness. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, whom we preach and warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, may present you as a perfect man in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 says, till we all come, the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, unto a mature man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants you to be mature. He wants to make you just like him. Secondly, there's growth. Look at this benchmark in Hebrews chapter 5. He says, for understanding what he's going to, I think, would be helpful for us to go to 1 John chapter 2. So if you could flip your 1 John chapter 2, I think you'll see this progression a little more clearly. But it's alluded to certainly in Hebrews chapter 5. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. We see three progressions of maturity, right? We see little children, young men, fathers. Is that not the progression of masculinity? One of the things we'll start to realize here is that this is the natural progression, not just of human beings, but of everything in life. You're meant to grow. Matter of fact, if you're not growing, that's called a disease. It's called a disability, if you will, right? There's something seriously, seriously wrong, because the progression is naturally of growing. Little children, young men, fathers. Matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of our might. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, they that receive the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Now go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. This is Paul writing to the church of Philippi. He says, not only in my presence, but so much more so in my absence. By the way, that indicates something beyond just the local church gathering, right? So it indicates this very concept that we're talking about. What does he say? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So is this indicating that God is telling us that we need to work for our salvation? Is that what he's saying? No, of course not. We know that the Bible doesn't say that at all. We can't. It's a gift of God, not a works, lest any man should boast. That's not it at all. So what is he saying here? He's saying, work out, exercise the salvation which God has already given you. When someone desires fitness, they do not grow new muscles. Do you realize that? That every muscle you have, you're given to at birth. But what they do is they make strong, they exercise the muscles that have already been given. So here's a point you need to understand, that when you come to Christ, God has already given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Your responsibility in that process is to exercise, to make strong that which God has already put in. To grow. To be strong. Being a strong Christian is not reserved for those zealots or the elite few. Understand this. If you're a Christian, this is your birthright. Your divine birthright as a child of God is to be strong. Indicates also this. If you're not growing, these are the marks of a Christian. If you look in your life and you see no growth, you look in your life and you see no power, you look in your life and you see no victory, you really need to question whether or not you're legitimately a Christian. Because this is what God does with his children. This is the means and the methods of which they grow. This is what persevering looks like. So we go to the third thing in closing, the means of spiritual fitness. The first and foremost we come to is that you must have life. You must be alive, if you will. That, well, maturity basically takes three things. Number one, it requires life. You cannot grow unless you have not been born. That's deep, isn't it? You have to be alive in order to grow. Living things grow. Would you guys agree with that? So what is the opposite of that truth? Dead things do not grow. I've seen this so many times. People try to live like a Christian without first becoming a Christian. And that is impossible. Not only is it impossible, it's incredibly frustrating. And talk about a loser way of living. Try to do something that you're not wired to do, that you're unable to do. That makes about as much sense as me going out and standing in the highway and think I could be Superman and stopping a speeding car. Right? Doesn't make much sense, right? I remember when I was 4 years old, I burnt my house down. And you guys will hear the story. My brother and I were looking under the couch for our toys. Couldn't find my G.I. Joe with a kung fu grip, right? So I'm like, couldn't find it. So I got out some matches. I was lighting them underneath the couch. You remember how couches would have that felt underneath the couch? That's a little inflammatory. And then I'm lighting on the couch and woo, it goes up, right? And it's going. And for some reason, we're 2 and 4 years old. My mother was went to the store down the street for a gallon of milk or something, was coming right back. You know, moms, have you ever been there? Leave your kids for 2 seconds, right? Well, if you're hitting, you can't leave them for like 1.5 seconds or even like a half a second, because they'll really do stupid stuff like burn your house down. And so anyway, they start going up. Just amazing fashion, right? And so we're trying to put it out, trying to put out the flames, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and the whole house is burning down. And when the firemen come to the house, yeah, I know, it's bad. I'm a terrible person. Y'all look at me like, I can't believe you burnt your house down. I was 4 years old. Give me a break. All right? So it's like going up, and so my brother and I, we're on the porch, and we're not giving up this fight. Like, we're hitting, we do stupid stuff, but we're kind of stubborn too. So we're still fighting the fire, but we couldn't get the water. So I figured, I'm just gonna blow it out like Superman. So I am up there, right? My brother and I blowing out the fires. This has got to work. We saw it on TV. That's crazy. Some of you have been going to church year in and year out, and you're trying to live like a Christian, trying to act like a Christian, trying to walk like a Christian, and you've never become a Christian. That's crazy. Do you know for a fact you're His? One of the most powerful things that Caleb did just a few weeks ago, he finally realized, this is crazy. No victory. No growth. Equals, help me out, no life. Don't quantify it. Don't try to give excuses for it. Realize you don't have any life and ask Him for His. And come and receive Jesus today. And you know what you'll get? When you get His life, guess what you get? Victory. Growth. Power. Peace. Because you have His life. Now, if you go back to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, you saw that powerful reality. Work out your own salvation. But what we didn't look at is verse 13. For it's Christ that worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. Here's the good thing. Now, if I want to be physically fit, like I need to do it. It all depends on what I do, how I eat, and how I act, and how I work out. That is not the case in the Christian life. That's where the spiritual fitness paradigm really breaks down. Because the Bible says, yes, your responsibility is to work out, but it's Christ that works in you. This is the power of the gospel, that literally I plug into the power source, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and that His life becomes mine. How do you get that life, you may ask? The Bible says, whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. For me, that was April 18th, 1993, when I finally realized that I was a sinner and there was nothing I could do to merit my own salvation, yet Christ died for me. He loved me, and He said, if you'll just come to me and call on me, I will save you. I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I've never been the same since. That's the power of salvation, friends. And some of you keep going week after week, year after year, with no victory. No joy, no peace, there's no life. Start right at the beginning. Like we said before, just having a gym membership does not make you fit. Secondly, the means of spiritual fitness and maturity is indicated in our text is time. It takes time. Thomas turns 14 today. It took 14 years for him to get there. That's a natural part of it. I was talking to Drew, and Drew, so as you don't know Drew, Drew, where you at, buddy? Right there, stand up, man. This man lost 165 pounds. I asked Drew, what was the number one hindrance for you? What was the number one barrier that you had to overcome? And what he told me was this. I had to come to grips to realize that where I'm at and where I want to go is going to take a really long time. And how long has it been, Drew, since you started? 2.5 years. 2.5 years. What he realized is it's going to take a long time, but what he was going for was worth it. What Drew finally realized, this was a life and death matter. I can't say I love my kids, I love my wife, if I'm not going to live, be around long enough to live for them. Life and death. He came to a crucible moment where he realized the pain of staying the same was greater than the pain that was going to be required in order to move forward. But it takes time. So the problem is our cultures, we want everything like right now. Actually, we want everything like yesterday. And this process is just that. It's a process. And you see athletes all the time that go with quick fixes. There is no quick fix. There's no shortcuts to spiritual maturity. It takes time, friends. Thirdly, we see in the text, it takes nourishment. That those that grow and those that are a full age have their senses exercised by proper nutrition of solid foods. Again, we go back to this reality. If all you're getting is a processed food intake of a message that someone else labored for, i.e. preaching, you're not getting the proper nutrition that's required. But we like it when everything else is done for us, though, don't we? How many of you guys would rather make a meal at home versus go out to eat and let someone else sweat over the meal? I'm kind of that way. I'd rather have someone else sweat over it than me have to make it at home. Now, some of you are like, no way, I want to know what's in my food. That's awesome. You guys are great. You're my heroes. I'm just not that way. Right? If I could, Mary and I would eat out every day of the week. We'd never cook food in our house. Obviously, with 7 kids, that's impossible. But anyway, here's the thing. Proper nutrition. What you put in matters. So be careful with it. I tell people all the time with their bodies, be careful what you put in your body, because it kind of matters. Be careful what you put in your heart spiritually, because it matters. Fourthly, we see in our text in closing, all these things are of nothing unless we apply this. By reason of use, you should circle that. By the reason of use, equate this to that, that God is telling you you need to do some things. Having their senses exercised. It takes reps, friends. You can do all the other things, but if you don't exercise your faith and act upon it on a daily basis, you're not going to grow. You're not going to be strong. You have to exercise. Does that make sense? Like, you have to exercise to get fit. I know we're all hoping that this magic pill comes out one day and then poof, you know, like miracle pill, you know, but it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. You have to exercise. Work out, right? That's why I say CrossFit's in the Bible. God's telling you to work out. Exercise, the salvation which God has already given you. Now, let me give you some misconceptions about CrossFit that I think apply to our text that we're referring to today. A lot of times people say about CrossFit, I'm too old for CrossFit. Not true at all. I see a lot of people that are a lot older than I am. I know, Lizzie, there are people that are older than me, just so you know. Yeah, it's not. You're never too old to change. A lot of times people have this idea about their lack of fitness, like, well, I've already messed it all up. No use now doing anything. I'm sure, Drew, you struggle with that. Like, there's no way in the world I'm going to turn this thing around. Or you hear this one a lot. Well, I have to get in shape before I do CrossFit. Right? I hear this a lot of times. Well, I need to clean up my life before I get involved in church. I need to clean up my life before I come to Jesus. Friends, that's not the way it works. Yeah, but James, if you knew how bad I am, if you knew how messed up I was, you wouldn't say that. Understand that. That's not how it works. You can't clean yourself up. You come to Jesus just the way you are and allow him to heal you. Like, well, I have people say, well, your church, you don't want people like us in their church. Yes, we do. That's exactly the kind of church we are. We're not looking for John the Baptist. We're looking for Joe Budweiser. That's who we're going after. Well, this one, CrossFit is dangerous. I always love when they say this. How dangerous is sitting on the couch eating 5 Twinkies a day? Tell me how dangerous that is. You want to know what living dangerously looks like? Going to McDonald's 5 times a week. That's living life on the edge. What we don't see is that I'm not going to say that the Christian life is safe, because it's not. It's not safe at all. The reality is that as you move forward, it'll hurt. But what's the alternative? The consequences of inactivity are more dangerous than moving forward and getting hurt as you move forward. That's the reality. It's too hard. Yeah, it's hard. Or we kind of have this idea, it's basically too much, or I'm not enough. I'm a lot more comfortable in my global gym. You may be, but if you're looking for results, sometimes you have to do the extremes. Here's some lessons that I've learned from CrossFit, and we'll close. I think they apply to being spiritually strong. One thing that I've learned with CrossFit, now I'm new to this whole CrossFit thing, as you guys have probably heard. It's been about a year and a half. I realized that doing all the running that I was doing, running ultra marathons, that I was pretty good at running, but I was really bad at a bunch of other stuff, right? And so instead of focusing on one little micro aspect of fitness, I started realizing that I'm not getting any younger, and I'm starting to feel pains in places that I shouldn't feel pains, right? That there was something wrong with my fitness regimen. And so I realized that I had to do something different. That's why I started getting into CrossFit. Understand this, one of the things that I've learned about CrossFit is you become comfortable with the uncomfortable. It hurts every time you go in there. And you become comfortable with being uncomfortable. Some of you want to be strong spiritually, but you're not willing to go through the discomfort of being changed radically. You want things comfortable. It doesn't work that way. Now, you can go into a gym and you can go sit on the machines and have your earplugs in and kind of, you know, you guys, some of you go to gyms, you've seen folks like that before, you know, they just go from sitting on one machine to the next. It's like they're trying to own real estate. Just by somehow sitting on this machine through osmosis, that fitness will so magically happen. Doesn't happen that way, does it, brother? You have to actually do something. You have to become uncomfortable. The key to muscle fitness is breaking down the muscle fibers. How many of you guys have ever been sore? You went out exercising or went on a hike, or you've been sore from doing something physical, right? We all have been that, right? That soreness is your body aching and just striving like, oh, it hurts, oh, it hurts. Understand? That's how growth happens. So you need to embrace this reality. In order for me to grow, in order for me to be spiritually successful, there's going to be some pain involved. Secondly, embracing failure, because failing is a part of the process. One of the things that CrossFit really changed the dynamics of the fitness industry is it began to quantify by specific data the terms of fitness, what fitness is. If you look into it, it's quite revolutionary, really. They gave a clear definition that can be quantified, that can be measured, that can be stated easy. Either you're fit or you're not fit. Either you're growing or you're not growing. Before then, usually when you looked up any definition of fitness, it dealt with paradigms that are really quite subjective. So this is how it works in a CrossFit gym. They time everything. Everything matters. Everything is counted. There's always reps. So here's the reality. Every day I go work out, I fail. Every day I go there, I fail at something. I don't get as many reps as I want to do. I don't go as fast as I wanted. Every day is a part of failure. But that failure is a part of the process of me growing. Embrace failure as a part of the process. Failure is not fatal. A lot of times we're too embarrassed to do things that are difficult, thinking that we'll fail, not realizing that every champion, every Olympian that stands and has a gold medal placed around his neck has learned the divine art of failure. Learn how to fail well. Thirdly, unlike what you see many in global gyms, is that community and support are not just ideal, they're critical in the CrossFit paradigm. Everything's done in a group. So there's times when I go in that I do not want to be there. But I know that Graham's going to call me if I don't show up, if he knows I'm home. Or if he sees my kids coming in and dad's not there, he's going to ask, where's your dad? If my kids say, well, he's at home because he didn't want to come and work out, I'm going to hear about it. So there's accountability in that process. So you say on me that you go sometimes and you don't want to go? Probably about 30 to 40%. But you do it anyway. There's an aspect to Christian maturity where you do what's necessary even when you don't want to do it. Well, I don't really feel like I'm called to that. Well, sometimes you just do what needs to be done, friends. Here's a fourth lesson I've learned in CrossFit and in spiritual growth. That sometimes things don't get easier, but with time and experience, I've become better. I wish I could tell you that after walking with Jesus for over 25 years, that living as a Christian has become easier, but it hasn't. I wish I could tell you that the trials and tribulations that I've faced as a Christian have become easier through times. And the reality is, to be honest with you, they haven't. Matter of fact, I would even suggest to you they get even harder. The benchmarks and the trials and the testings get even greater. But what changes is not the things around me, but those things within me. Fifthly, if I'll learn to embrace today and do the things that no one else wants to do today, tomorrow I'll be able to do the things that no one else can. This reality of living a Christian life isn't easy, and sometimes it will be difficult. But the life you dream of, the life that you long for, the life that is the birthright as a child of God, is worth living and sacrificing for today. So what will make the difference for you? Where does your spiritual fitness kick in? How many of you have had these thoughts? I'd like to start working out. I'd like to change that. But, you know, we're looking at August right now. This year, basically a shot. 2019, that'll be my year. I'll start working out then. Or things are just really hectic right now with my job, and I'd like things to be better, but no, really not. The devil is always in procrastination. Decisions that you need to make today that will change your entire paradigm, the devil most times will just simply get you to put it off for tomorrow. Just put it off. Just kick it down the road. What areas of obedience are you putting off that God is telling you now is the day? In just a moment, we're going to have communion, that time where we celebrate the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, this great sacrifice for us. Today's your day. For some of you, you're still not Christians. The message of this is not to get you cleaned up and get you fit. It's that you realize that you are unable to make any of those changes without the power of Christ working in your life. Come to Him as you are. Allow Him to change you. Find the power that can only come from within. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whatever it is, whatever God's moving in your heart, don't delay. Respond. Don't be dull of hearing. Respond. Make those things clear. Walk in obedience today. Bow your heads and hearts for a word of prayer.